devils.
Hello, this is Aaron from My Dying Bride, and I've been invited to take part in the Devil's Mouth podcast. And so I'm here again. I was here a while ago, and they can't get enough, so I'm back. I've been asked to choose a significant My Dying Bride song from our vast back catalogue, which I have done. But it might surprise some people what I've chosen. I think a lot of people might assume I'm going to go for something from Turn Loose the Swans, from that classic sort of era. Which, of course, makes perfect sense, because those were the foundation years of My Dying Bride. And many people look back at those times as being really great. You know, it was an important time for us. We'd sort of created our own sound. And we were really moving forward at that time. And that was when people started to sort of prick up their ears and recognize My Dying Bride. But I'm not going to that period. I'm going much closer to home. I mean, you know, we've written over 250 songs. So trying to find, trying to isolate one as being the most important is going to be different and difficult for each member of the band, and indeed the fans. You know, every song is relevant to you in some form, and speaks to you on a certain level. And, you know, sometimes we hear fans screaming for songs live, you know, and they're yelling for songs that aren't on the set list and never have been. And you sort of think, oh, right, okay, so that's what you like. Right, okay, noted. You know, it's different for us. Now, I've picked a song today, which it's not my favourite song, and it's not what you would consider a legendary song. But it's an important song, and probably one of the most, if not the most important song that I've taken part in, because it was a powerful moment in my life. So let's get into it, shall we? So I've decided to choose the song Tired of Tears from our current album, even though it's 2 years old, released in March 2020. Which it seems like an age ago now already. We are writing new material, by the way, folks. But Tired of Tears, well, I had to write about my personal life, because, you know, our last gig was 2017, when I found out my daughter had cancer. She was 5 years old at the time. And so, of course, I dropped everything, and you know, we began that journey, which was terrifying, of course. And once we'd got through the journey and out the other side, you know, I could have filled the whole album with songs relating to that. But I think it would have just dragged, well, it would have dragged me down and everybody who listened to the album. I mean, we like writing miserable music, but I think that would have been too much. But I had to write something, you know. I went through a torrid time, and I had to make a record, literally, of it. So I did. So, you know, I wrote Tired of Tears, and it's the title, you know. Anyone who's been through cancer in general has had a torrid time. When it's your child, then it's really, really tough. You know, that is a battle no one wants to fight. And because they're so fragile and so innocent, you know, and you only want the very best for them at all times. You know, you can't help crying all the time. You know what I mean? And because the journey with cancer is a long one, you know, we're literally crying every day, all day. And after a while, the physical exertion of crying makes your whole face, the jaws ache. You know, you're physically exhausted from the ache of weeping, and it's so tough, and you can't turn it off. It's a natural thing for a parent to do, because their child is knocking at death's door. It was horrendous. And it went on and on and on, and it was so difficult. But you know, she's great now, and you know, she always had a smile on her face during everything she endured. You know, and it was tough because you know we kicked off with chemo like you do, and then this thing was huge, so they had to cut her open and take it out. But unfortunately, the cancer had the tumor had exploded inside, and so when they opened her up to remove it, it was all over the place. So they had to stitch her back up again, let her recover for a couple of months. Then they had to cut her open again and scrape out all the splattered bits, everything they could see. But that's not everything, of course. You know, there's microscopic bits of cancer they can't see. So they stitch her up and then she goes for radiotherapy. And of course, anyone who knows anyone who's been for radiotherapy, that's horrendous. The side effects are awful. And yet, she had a smile on her face throughout all this. I mean, there was one time after one of her operations when I was sat by her bedside and I counted 12 different wires and tubes going in and out of her body, and it was horrendous. She's 5 years old. She's got no hair. She's as skinny as a rake. You know, it was dreadful. You know, it was very touch and go. Anyway, I'm not going to, you know, this is a fun podcast, kind of. I'm bringing the tone down. I should stop doing that and, you know, try and, you know, let's all enjoy things, shall we? Because she won. Ultimately, she won, and that's good. But yeah, when it came to writing the album, I wasn't really in the mood, you know, because I was just coming out of this dark place. So the rest of the guys were ploughing on. They'd written all of the songs. And indeed, they'd recorded most of the songs. And I was still, I don't know, just trying to figure out what I'm supposed to be doing in the world. I didn't really feel like rejoining the band. It was an odd thing. I'd spent such a long time with my daughter trying to get through the cancer. Everything took a back seat. And trying to get back into the band was difficult. You know, it's not like you fall off your bike, you get back on it, and off you go. It's not like that, or it's, at least it wasn't like that for me. It was very tough getting back into the band. So when I realised everybody's ploughing on, you know, a lot of the work is done, everybody's waiting for me, and you suddenly think, all right, it's now or never. There was a point when I thought, I'm probably not going to return to My Dying Bride. I've had a good innings. You know, we started in 1990. It was now about, I think it was 2019 at this point. And I honestly thought, well, if I leave now, it's not such a big deal. You know, I've got dozens of albums under my belt. I'm very proud of the body of work that I've got. Let's call it a day. But when I heard the music, Andrew was constantly sending me the music as it was tweaked during the recording process, and I loved it, and that was the hook that caught me and brought me back into the band, was listening to the new songs, and I thought, this is great stuff. And it wasn't just My Dying Bride writing the music, because on the eve of recording the album, we lost two members of the band. Our drummer Sean left, and our long-term guitar player Calvin left. So, you know, talk about obstacles, but we didn't let it get us down. We were determined to record the album. So despite not having a drummer, we did everything we could. But luckily, the producer, Mark Minor, he knew Jeff Singer, ex-Paradise Lost and Kill to This drummer, whose kit was actually in the studio at the time. Jeff had been doing some session work. So Mark said, look, I'll ring Jeff. He can come down and we can at least get something down. And Jeff came and he was great and he nailed everything. It wasn't just a case of stick some drums down, Jeff, for now while we look for another drummer. Jeff drummed the living shit out of these songs and it was amazing. And so we went with it and Jeff joined the band just like that. And we left off Calvin's guitar work because we just didn't want any political fallout further down the line. So Andrew did all the guitars. He did all the guitars on the previous album as well. So it's not like he wasn't used to it. He's a great songwriter. He can adapt, and he did, and it was brilliant. And the album was coming along fantastically. And so, yeah, I finally found myself back into it and writing lyrics and sort of enjoying it a little bit, finding my feet to some extent. But, yeah, and of course, you know, I had to write Tired of Tears. There was no way I could let a moment like that in my life pass by without it being mentioned and sort of recorded for prosperity, I think. You have to get it off your chest. You know, that's why it's good to talk about these sort of things, because it shines a light on it, and it allows you to step out of the darkness a little bit, and that burden you're carrying around is lifted a little bit for you. So it's a good exercise for the human soul and spirit to share these things, even if people don't want to hear it. It's important to share it, and your true friends will be there to listen because they understand the venting. So Tired of Tears was written, and yeah, of course it's miserable. It's fully intended to be miserable, because that was a very miserable time, the miserablest I've ever been in my life, and I'm not even sure the word miserablest is a word. But I may have just invented it. But you get the idea. And in the song, within the song, you read the lyrics and you get the general picture. You know, it's not a narrative. It's just phrases and things that were going on at that time. Things that were tormenting me. There was a line, gosh, I can't remember. It would have helped if I'd had the lyrics in front of me, but I'm trying to remember them. It's like playing live. I'm tempted sometimes to have the lyrics on stage because as you get a little bit older, it's harder to remember the lyrics. So it certainly is for me. But I soldier on heroically, thinking, yeah, you can remember the lyrics, and suddenly you're at that moment on stage and you can't remember what the next line is. So you just make it up, and then you tell people later on, oh, I fancied a change that night. And excuse me, whether or not they believe you is, you know, neither here nor there. And it's a similar situation here. I'm trying to remember the lyrics rather than have them in front of me. But there are moments in there. I think if I had the lyrics in front of me, I'd just burst out crying. But there are moments in there. There's one where I'm shrouded in my own bloody arms or something like that. It's because when you are pushed to the very, very brink of anxiety and stress, your body goes nuts. The chemical balance within your body is all over the place. And for whatever reason, my body decided, my physical form decided my skin erupted in boils and extreme rashes, and I was a physical and mental wreck. You know, I was all up, my neck was red raw, and it got to a point, you know, I needed severe medication, because when I took my shirt off, my chest looked like a pizza. There was dry skin hanging off, there was blood, there was weeping, there was yellow pus. It was awful, and it was the extreme pressure, you know, the anxiety like you've never had before. Your chemicals in your body are shot to bits, and everything falls apart. And there's just a small reference to that in the song, and some people might see it and think, oh, I thought this was about his daughter. So what's this bit? Well, it's about my whole trip through that, and it, you know, I've said it before, it was awful. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. It was a horrendous time. But anyway, listen to Tired of Tears and you'll get it. You know, you'll get it. You'll understand, or you might not understand, because if you haven't been through this, it's difficult to stand in someone else's shoes if you haven't been there, you know. You know, we'd heard of, you know, people with cancer prior to this, and you're sympathetic, of course you are, But apart from being a shoulder to cry on, you don't really know what to say. It's difficult to understand because you're familiar, but you're not that familiar. But then when it happens to you, suddenly, you know, the world opens, you know, huge gaping maw in front of you of utter darkness, and you're trying desperately not to fall into it. And it's really difficult, really difficult. Your sanity runs off and your mind is a mess, you know. I couldn't sleep, you know, I couldn't eat, I couldn't drink, I was daydreaming all the time. Your brain is constantly saying, why is this happening? Is there something else I could have done? And it's like, because there's no answer, it's like you're trying to work out sort of like a mathematical equation. You can't work it out, but you can't stop thinking about it day and night, 24/7. It just never stops. It never shuts up. The cogs are constantly whirring and you're trying to figure out why. Why is this? Why is this for me? Why am I going through this? Why is she going through this? What on earth is happening here? And it just will not turn off, and it's bloody horrible. Anyway, Neil joined, and that was nice. So obviously we needed another guitar player for when we played live. Calvin having departed, but the album, of course, was already recorded when Neil joined. He came right at the end. I mean, he could have thrown some guitar parts on, but Andy had covered that already. So so we thought, okay, let's start rehearsing these songs. It was 2017 when we last played live. The album's due out in March 2020. Let's make 2020 our comeback year, shall we? Ooh, that would be exciting, won't it, everybody? And of course, we'd all heard that there was some kind of virus going around the world, and we thought, oh, it will be nothing. It will stay somewhere to the east and we should probably be okay. Myself and Andrew travelled to London, did all the press for the album in January 2020. Big release date, I think, was March the 6th, and the album came out and everything was glorious. And I think about a week or two later, there was a national lockdown and the pandemic was rife, and all those touring plans, you know, the big comeback tour for 2020 obviously never happened. And we kind of sat around like everyone else, wondering what to do next, which, you know, was not ideal. But we didn't actually sit on our hands. You know, we launched a beer. We launched a beer called Old Earth, which has gone down a storm as well. Just a side note, we're working on a rum as well, which should be out in 2022 with a bit of luck. Excuse me. Of course, I'm wandering down a different road there. We just were thinking, okay, when are we going to play live? Everybody was thinking, when are we going to play live? And things eased obviously a little bit for us. And it was only sort of towards the latter part of 2021 we managed to do a gig in London and a gig in Leeds, not far from where we live. And they were almost like warm-up gigs for when we hit the road properly in 2022, this year. We hadn't played a foreign gig. I mean, I'm recording this in April 2022, and we haven't done a foreign gig for 5 years. You know, most other bands are complaining that they haven't done a gig in 2 years, which is a long time to not gig. Well, it's been 5 years for us. You know, we've had it tough. We've had it tough. But we've got lots of gigs lined up for 2022. I'm kind of hoping they'll happen. There's some grim things going on in the world at the moment. But, you know, we have had, my dying bride have had some serious hurdles to climb over in the last 5 years. And we've got over every single one of them. So whatever else the world can throw at us, bring it on. We don't give a shit. We can get over anything. If gigs get cancelled, they get cancelled. Something else is around the corner. just never, we never give up. I'm sure at some point in the future we'll have to. It'll probably be because of old age, or we'll be senile or something like that. But it won't be. I hope the actions of others that stops us. It will be myself and Andrew who get together and say, "Do you know what? Do you think we've had enough? Have we done everything we wanted to do?" And if the answer is no, then we'll continue until we've done everything we wanted to do. And I think that's part of the reason we're in a band. We've got ideas and we need to get them out there. And we're not giving up until we've done that. Some bands just give up because they wanted the money and the money never came. They wanted the fame and the fame never arrived. We were never into that. You don't call yourself My Dying Bride and write some of the most miserable songs ever and expect to get lots of money and fame. It doesn't work like that. And we understood that from day one. It's not what we're after. We've got things that we need to say, things that we need to do, and that is what the vehicle of My Dying Bride is for. It carries our thoughts and our ideas forward. And when we have run out of thoughts, ideas and creativity, then we'll probably stop. And so that's why we're still here after all this time. Anyway, I think that's probably about it. I've probably ranted enough. So that was Tired of Tears, a song I've chosen because it means an awful lot to me. And I hope you like it. I have been Aaron Stainthorpe, the vocalist from My Dying Bride. Hopefully we'll see some of you on the road in the next few years. This is The Devil's Mouth, and I will see you later, ladies, gentlemen, and anybody else. The devils,